You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca, Alberta's only regulated online gambling website. Use the promo code, and you get a new one every month, Greger50, and you'll get a free $50 play only at PlayAlberta.ca. Jay McCartnell. JC, how you doing, buddy?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for coming in. First time in the studio.
Thanks for having me. So friendly confines.
Good. Yeah,
nice. Director of Hockey Communications.
Director of Hockey. Okay.
Because we have a director of corporate communications, which is Kevin Rapanos, so I wouldn't want to get in on his action.
Well, you know, Kev didn't come in here, so he doesn't get the full title. Sorry, Kev. No, we're kidding. I know Kev is a great guy.
Very good guy.
So let's go back into here, because obviously, now when you got started, did you have like, okay, this is what I want to be. I want to be the director of hockey communications for an NHL team. Was that the ultimate end goal when you first started down this path of communications?
Well, I know I wanted to work in sports,
okay.
But yeah, I sure. I mean, you know, like, do you want to be, you know, yeah. Do you want to play, you want to be in a band? Sure. Do you want to, you know, be a movie actor? Sure. I mean, that's the top job, but I can't say that I realistically thought. I knew I wanted to work in sports,
okay.
But it panned out.
But you didn't start in sports, which is, I think it's always good, because people out there listen, they're like, hey, I'm going to go to school and get a communications degree. And well, what does that really mean? Where can it go? I know before, because Jamie worked for the then Eskimos, now Elks, then the BC Lions, and then, of course, went from BC to the Oilers many years ago. And we'll get in. You guys have been pretty successful, you and Pearsey. You guys are a little bit of a dynasty. We'll talk about that later on. But you were actually working at City Hall.
Oh, yeah.
Beforehand. Yeah. So, which, you know, sports and politics, people can give very strong opinions on both for certain. So was that your first gig, was at City Hall?
Was. I went to Grant McEwen.
Okay.
And in communications, PR, the PR program. And towards the end, you had I wouldn't even call it an internship, but like work experience. So they would line up for you. So you had to kind of apply for them. They're all, okay. And so yeah, I was actually initially working with emergency services. So that's fire and ambulance in Edmonton. They're not separated. So at that time anyway, it was so sort of being alongside the people who are like the spokesperson for that. So you know, the news is showing up at a fire and they're the spokesperson saying, you know, what's going on and that kind of thing. So I sort of did that for a little while. And I guess made enough of an impression that they sort of covered off for the person going on vacation for a month or so. And then from there, there was just a temporary spot over at City Hall, and kind of got in. Back then, it was like at the communications branch. Like the communications branch would have a person at in the different departments of the city. So they'd have, so they were a communications person, but they're sort of assigned to, you know, different branches of the city. So whatever it might be. So. But I was at City Hall and I was doing, you know, just writing messages for city councilors and writing speeches, you know, here and there, and loved it. It was great. So I was like 99, 2000. And I think most people would remember we hosted the World Track and Field Championships as well as the World Triathlon.
2001 for the World Championships.
Yeah. And the city, and as everybody knows, also the city's tremendous volunteer reputation and just a tremendous depth of volunteers here. And at the time, the city wanted to sort of honor or thank all the volunteers for those events.
Right.
And I suggested, at the time I was a season ticket holder with the Eskimos, and I said, you know, quite often, you know, the Eskimos have things where they host people and thank them. And I said, why don't we do that and just do a ticket thing and have everybody come to the game. And it was a sort of a late fall game. And I said, oh, that's a great idea. So they did that and worked with the Eskimos and sent out tickets to all the volunteers that had worked at those events. And I think they had the mayor, I think it was Bill Smith at that time, proclaimed that day as Volunteer Day in Edmonton.
Well, there's a lot of volunteers and philanthropy in our city, no question.
So they did that. And then at the time, it was really sort of a chance meeting. They said, Jamie, well, can you go with the mayor to, he's going to voice, like he couldn't make the game, so he was going to voice like a video to do the proclamation.
Yeah.
So I did. And I started talking to the person at the Eskimos, and it's like, and that's, to your point of how we originally thought, like, well, sure, it'll be fun to work in sports.
So JMO was the guy, Dave Jamieson?
Dave, no, it wasn't Dave at the time. I was just working with their partnerships person on that particular day. And I said, well, I think we're going to have an opening soon. And at the time, Shona was doing community relations.
Right.
That's Doyme Andrusiak's mother-in-law.
Yes.
And she was retiring, and they said there's probably going to be an opening. And it was, I mean, and in the CFL, it's always this and that. So it was to look after community relations and be the communications assistant to Dave. And so, yeah, I just beat down the door, had an interview with Hugh, and yeah, it was pretty wild. And yeah, so I got that job and went from City Hall to
CBS. So it was your first year in 2002 when they hosted the Grey Cup?
Yes. I was right up on a ladder, up on the flagpoles in the very corner of the stadium, putting up Canadian flags. Looking down with the wind howling, wondering, how has it come to this?
Yeah, it's exactly like, thankfully, I'm not scared of heights. So you have to do different things in that. So now when you're writing speeches.
Yes.
So you're writing a speech for someone else. And they,
sure.
How much do they edit your speech?
Well, it's funny you should say. I remember doing one. You know how in the spring the city has kind of like the river valley cleanup?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I kind of thought to myself, it's great that we do this and everybody volunteers it, but how about we just don't throw mattresses into the river valley so we don't have to clean them up? So I thought maybe we should put that into the speech. Like, hey, thank you very much for everybody for being here. And you know, it's, you know, again, this is spirit of Edmonton and showing up and helping out. But maybe we could get to a day where we wouldn't have to clean up the river valley every spring. So how about we stop throwing stuff in the river valley? So I would occasionally put in a few things that I thought were important. So I'm not sure if they were edited out or not, but you know.
You never listened to the live speech?
Well, I didn't actually go to the event. I just wrote the speech.
You just wrote the speech. You didn't have to go to the event.
No.
So how long would it take you to write a speech? And like, so did it, okay, I got a minute speech here. I got a 2-minute speech. So you would write words or 2-minute?
Oh, I think you wrote it to time.
Okay.
Yeah, you wrote it to time. And then there was a lot of messages. You know, there's an event here and an event right there, a message from the mayor or a message from the you know, whatever counselor for that ward and stuff. And so you'd roll in, there'd be a stack of work. And they'd come in months in advance. So it was really, I would just power through the stuff. I loved it. It was awesome. You answered to yourself. You did your own research. I loved writing speeches and stuff. It was
really
fun.
Really?
Oh, it's very fun.
Do you ever write any speeches for anybody at the orders?
Well, no, because again, that's sort of on the corporate side. Like, we don't have,
yeah,
you know, it's not like Chris is out giving speeches. You know,
well, it might be good though.
Yeah.
Like, if you could write a speech for one person that you'd want them to read, like, just because you're like, hey, I'm writing this speech, you have to say what I. Now, I'm not going to defame anybody or anything like that, but knowing the personalities of the players and people in the organization, where you could say, I'd actually wouldn't mind to see this guy give a speech. Because I think he'd be good at it.
Well, I guess I guess it would depend on. I don't want to put a bunch of caveats, but I mean, it just like I can't help but. I mean, you've been to the golf tournament.
Yeah.
Sometimes I kind of like to rip.
Oh, 100%, so, buddy.
Now, are we talking about a roast or are we talking about a speech?
Well, it's fair question because, you know, I've seen a lot of roasts, and there's roast and toast, and it can be the fine line in between two. I think a good toast has a little bit of a roast.
If I could write on behalf of somebody and just sort of say, and another thing. know, I could pick a few guys I think who really have to bite their tongue a lot. So, yeah.
I would think so. Jamie Cartmell joins us, Director of Communications on the hockey side for the Edmonton Oilers. So you work with the football team and you started out in the community relations side, right? And then you kind of start working a little bit with Dave because you're the number two man. And then you got the interview to go to BC. What was the most important thing you learned from being the director of communications for a sports team that's obviously very different than City Hall? What was like the biggest learning curve or thing you look back and say, okay, this is something that I never would have thought of that's important?
Well, you sort of started out with that. I mean, the ability to write because sort of all the way through. And so I wasn't really dealing much with the media at City Hall. I was just sort of, you know, just sort of working behind the scenes and writing stuff, like you said. And then, you know, with Dave, you sort of get your first sort of taste of media relations, and that's Dave was the best. I mean, and it still is amazing. So that was a great learning experience. But when I got the interview to go, and I'm not a big believer in luck, and I tell people this, like, if you're being hired for a job, it's because they want to use your talents. You're and in exchange for that, you get compensation. So it's not like these jobs are a charity. I believe in good timing, but I don't believe there's any kind of luck in getting these jobs for any person listening for the job that they got. You were hired because you're qualified for that job. at least to start. But so when I went to BC, I interviewed actually the women. There's two women that held down that job. They job shared. One was Debbie Button. She was going to go to the Canucks.
Yep.
And the other was going to have her second child and wasn't going to come back. And so you sort of heard, but that's the reason I'm sort of talking about luck is like the timing was fortunate. Both were not coming back to that job. And they basically kind of put the word out in the CFL, which I'm sure you're aware is a pretty small community, that, hey, we're leaving. So if anyone's interested in this gig,
apply.
Yeah. So Dave told me that's, and you kind of have an inside vibe of what they want, right?
Right.
You got to be married to it. Like it's 24/7. So I really knew what they wanted. So the interview was, I did that with the late Bob Ackles. And then I also had a call with Wally at the time. And then they offered me the job. So, but previously those, Debbie and I'm sorry, the lady's name escapes me at this time, but they both worked for the Vancouver Grizzlies at the time. So that's how far back we're going. Wow. So they went from the Grizzlies to the Lions and then, and I came in there. But I think the biggest adjustment was I wouldn't say you're the face. I'm hardly the face of anything, but you're the contact. You're the guy.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot now.
You got to deal with a lot of personalities on both the player side and on the media side.
Yeah, I am.
We could have some fun with which sides, who's got more prima donnas. You probably have a good, it'll be a really good discussion.
No, you're right. It is. I mean, we'll come back to this probably a number of times, but it is, whether you're looking for that job or your reputation or your dealings with both the media and the players, one party wants nothing to do with the other. It's all about relationships. So it's 100%. So I'm, my work relationship.
You're like a therapist a bit.
Well, yeah. you think my personal life would be so much better, but no, I kid. I mean, there was times where, in BC, I had an amazing kind of corner office at the practice facility, looked right over out in the field, and it was just amazing. I looked at the North Shore Mountains, and it was I mean, off in the distance because we're in Surrey.
Yeah.
And, but just stunning views. I mean, right through the winter and stuff, it's just amazing. So I was always very grateful I would wake up and I would, we moved once just a little bit further east into the valley and into a place called Alder Grove, which is on the Langley, Abbotsford border. And I'd come out of our place and we backed onto a farm. It's just an amazing place. And I would turn north to get to the Canada One, and there'd be days where it was just cold. It was cold enough to rain in the winter where we were, but snow up in the mountains. And I tell you, with the sun was out the next day, stunning. And I never took it for granted. So I was always...
It was easy to go to work.
It was easy to go to work.
Easy to go to work.
But yeah, you're 100% correct. You are the middleman, and you're not often... You're just a janitor in a sense. You're just sort of cleaning things up and hoping they stay clean.
Now, we're going to get into little details now, of course, working with the orders when we return. So the Jason Greger Show here on Sports 1440, sports1440.ca is always brought to you by playalberta.ca. Get in the game. Use the promo code Greger50, and they'll match you with another $50 deposit at playalberta.ca. We'll return more with Jamie Cartnell, Director of Hockey Communications for the Edmonton Oilers. 224, welcome back, Jason Greger. Connor Halley with you, Sports 1440, sports1440.ca, YouTube, Facebook, X, and Instagram. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching the show. We always appreciate it. We have a special guest in studio. Of course, he's Director of Communications for the Edmonton Oilers on the hockey side. Jamie Cartmell goes by Sweet Jimmy C on Twitter. So that's a nice handle you got there, JC.
I didn't make it up.
I like it.
Given to me.
Before we get to the orders, you kind of like the business world, the sports world, it can be ruthless at times, right?
Oh,
contracts end. You get hired by the BC Lions. You're working there for a while. And then if my timing, you can correct me if my timing's wrong, but... you got let go in the off season, right after the season ended, mm-hmm. in 18 or 19?
19. Yeah.
It's an odd, they didn't really ever replace your job. That was kind of, take us through what happened there.
Well, it was a bad season. I think we were 5-13.
That's right.
We were 0-10 against the West.
Okay.
In fact, up until Edmonton winning that home game,
yeah,
a year or so ago or whatever. The last, their last win was when I was with the Lions in October of 2019.
That's right.
So,
so Edmonton had a tough stretch there.
Yeah. So Devon Claybrooks was the head coach. They let Devon go.
Yeah.
That's at the end of the season, and hire Rick Campbell as the head coach.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, I can't remember the exact dates. I don't know. Maybe like so.
Yeah, Rick Campbell was hired like right before Christmas.
Right.
So December 15th.
Exactly.
Like that.
So. Yeah, so basically, I think
they let you go like 10 days before Christmas?
Yeah. Yeah. I just,
Merry Christmas.
A familiar name rolled into the office and said, I don't think we need a director of communications anymore, which struck me as odd in the Canada's second largest English speaking media market, but okay. And so there I was. Yeah.
Done.
Done. So thanks.
Now,
Rick, if you're listening.
That's Rick Lulcher.
Yeah.
Right. So that happens. How does it work? Like, you have a now the CFL contracts for a lot of players are 1 year. Was yours a multi-year deal? So do they have to pay you out? How does that work in that side?
When I started, Wally, it was contracts, but by then I was an employee.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, British Columbia has pretty favorable labor laws, so they had to pay me out because it was, you know, it was out without reason or cause.
Okay.
So they had to pay me out. So I was paid out through August of 2020, and
I remember what happened in 2020. That's
the world like came to an end. They had
March
no season.
So you're just like, getting paid to do nothing.
So I got paid, and whatever contracts Ed guaranteed got paid too.
Well, you know what? And it's so funny about that because that was such common practice that people tried to make it sound like it wasn't. Like there's lots of guys who, hey, you get your bonus here beforehand. And if COVID didn't shut down, no one even ever talked about it. I always found that somewhat interesting.
I can only offer what I think probably happened, because what would happen quite often in the CFL and for a time in the NFL was, because those contracts are not guaranteed.
100%.
As a guy would sign for a whole boatload of money, and then it might be for extended years, but they could always come back to the next year and go, well, not so sure we want to pay X.
Exactly.
So maybe you'll, and it's kind of like a gun to your head and be like, you either want to play or you don't.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying any of this happened because I don't know, because I, you know, but I would assume that the only guarantee that someone could offer a player is like, look, I need a quarterback, and if I don't have you, then I have to pay somebody. So I will guarantee you X amount of money, which in my salary cap, I can't afford not to have a person playing that position. So sure. You're making this, but I guarantee you'll make this. Mm-hmm. What are the chances that there's going to be no season?
Yeah, right? Well, exactly. It never happened, right?
Exactly. So but again, I that's just my take.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's so. Then you leave there, and then you come to the orders organization from the CFL to the. Now, is it a lot of knowing people? You'd been in Edmonton before, so is it a lot of, okay, I don't know if you'd cross paths with Tim Shipton before he hired you or not. Like, how much of relationships go into, you think, getting a job in communications?
Well, I guess if we phone Bob Stauffer, he would tell me he got me the job. I kid. I love you, Bob. Well, okay, so I had a sort of a sports adjacent job that we moved to Calgary for. So
oh, okay.
I was there got there in September of 2020. So in between, I did see that there was a communications job with the Oilers available, but that was the corporate communications. And then, of course, COVID and everything else kind of went sideways. And so it wasn't there. And then actually, to be honest with you, so I'm working in a sports adjacent job. And my sister sends me a note. And she's like, have you seen that the Oilers have a job on LinkedIn, a communications job? I said, oh, I think it's just I've already looked into that. I don't think it's going anywhere. She goes, well, I said, well, send me the link. And so she does, and I click on it, and I, oh, that's...
It's on the hockey side.
That's the job.
All right.
So I thought, okay, here we go.
Did you get a new suit for that interview?
That was, well, I was in Calgary, so that was December, like, I'm talking the week before Christmas, December 2020. So the job is there, because that's when they, just shortly before, they announced we're going to
have... And there's no season on at this point, because the season didn't begin until January of 21.
But they did announce that there would be.
There
would be. And there's going to be a Canadian division and all that. So I apply for it, and I get a call later that day, the Oilers. I mean, I knew I would have it. I knew I'd have an interview. I mean, I'd been doing it for, like, you know, 4 years with the Eskimos and 14 seasons with the Lions. You got 18 years of experience. You'd like to think you can at least get an interview.
Yeah.
And so I had the initial interview, and they said, okay, thank you very much. We'll be in touch. Call later in the day. Can you be available for a Zoom call tomorrow? Sure. With who? Well, Bob Nicholson and Tim Shipton and someone from HR and I forget, someone else. Not. And they said, yeah, sure, I did that. So then the next day, hey, great. But they were in fast forward motion.
Oh, yeah, because they had a month to get to the season.
Yes. So the next interview was with, they said, are you available tomorrow? Whatever that day was, like a Wednesday or a Thursday. And I said, yeah, for sure. And they said, okay, this will be with Dave Tippett and Ken Holland and Bob Nicholson and Tim Shipton again.
All right.
And I thought, holy crap, I get to meet Ken Holland. So then, okay, so I know I'm going to have this. So yeah, first thing I do is I phone Dave J. He goes, oh, I know. And so, but I think in the background, Tim Shipton would have spoken to people like Ryan Rashog, and because the relationship between Edmonton Media and the club was not good.
Dude. Yeah.
It was pretty contentious.
Yeah, and really I was always as a guy who, and I don't think I'm lying when I say this, I'm not overly contentious with it. I try to be fair. I don't stir a lot of the pot very often, and I felt like there was faux outrage that started from nothing, and I'm like, suddenly it's like, why are the guys getting so upset? Like, the players have nothing to be upset about, really, but it came from somewhere, and I never, so you did, and you know, there's been a very big change, I would think, in a few years, and like lots of things, you know, one-on-one interviews with different players, you know, just meeting away with no microphones and just talking, right?
Sure.
Like, you're in communications. And I'm a big believer in communications. I always tell players, I'm like, if you get mad at me if something I say is right, please tell me and we'll discuss it one-on-one.
Sure.
You can hear my point. I'll hear your point. I mean, it doesn't change what I think, but at least you try to be respectful. So it was different because I'd been in it for 20 years at that point, and I'd never noticed it like that at all in the last few years prior to you coming on.
Yeah. And we can talk about sort of my philosophy on some of those things as well, but just to sort of, you know, put a ribbon on it. So I had that interview with those four guys and, you know,
what did Tippett and Holland, like, what did they ask you? What did
they
ask?
Well, they just sort of said, well, here's the thing too. Don't forget, like, I'm on the coast. I can't watch games. Right.
Yeah.
Cause
well, they're not going to ask you who's good.
No. Yeah. Well, look,
hey, JC, what do you think about our power play?
I don't like the way this breakout. I can't watch games. Like, I'm on the coast. So I can't get sports. I get Pacific. I'm not watching those guys. Right. I couldn't care less about the hockey team there. So, but anytime I could watch the orders was when it's on a national broadcast. I'll be honest with you, I didn't know like a ton about on the team. Like, you're hearing these draft picks, of course, Connor. Stuff and Liam. Yeah. But I mean, I wasn't really, really watching the games.
Who's this Evan Bouchard kid? Because he came in, that was his first year, right? Played a little bit.
Yes. So, or Darnell Nurse. I thought, isn't that the kid from the World Junior team? So I mean, admittedly, I was a football guy too.
Yeah.
20 years in football. Yeah. Like, it's just different. So, and I mean, don't get me wrong. I was born and raised here, and the Oilers were my life. The Eskimos were my life. But when you're away for 15, like, you just lose touch with them.
Yeah,
you know, they're not making the playoffs, and it's just so it's just not on your radar as much. But no, the interview was just, they just sort of said, you know, what are you seeing there? Like, what are you seeing in Connor, and what are you seeing like as from a media perspective?
Right.
And So I sort of gave him my perspective on what I'm seeing and what I sort of stood for. And I said, well, you know, like I don't view my job as protecting people. It's not my job to protect people. It's my job to equip people,
you know, right? I like that.
So, yeah. So, you know, it's like you hold your kid's hand across the street. How many times until they're in high school? No, eventually you have to learn how to press the button, get a walk light and know what it means and cross the street. So I was big on equipping, not necessarily big on protection. Now, am I going to throw some blocks here and there? Are we going to, you know, watch for, you know, timing and who's, you know, we can get into all that, sort of the minute details. But initially, that was sort of my thing, was like, I'm not going to come in here and just, we're going to build relationships with people. We're going to rebuild this from what I, and again, that was, and don't, I can't understate it enough. With Dave J, like, he was giving me what the radar was like around the team and in the market and the sports or the sports, you know, market or the sports media. So I knew, like, with that insight, like, it was very helpful. But I think also, like I said, because I had had an existing relationship with someone like you, and I don't know if they talked to you about it, but with Ryan Rashaw, because he was with TSN.
Yeah, I lied and said JC is a pretty good guy.
Terrible.
Yeah.
What a mistake. Spec. And, I mean, I've known Spec for 25 years. Oh. So, I mean, so when you leave on good terms and you have a good reputation in another market, and people were reaching out to me when I lost that job with the Lions, just to say that, you know, but, you know, like they say, you know, those types of compliments and those types of feelings, and 25 cents will get you a cup of coffee, but don't forget the 25 cents. It wasn't like any of those places were reaching out to give me a job.
Yeah.
So again, it's on you. So, but that reputation, I think, and that, you know, and those relationships behind the scenes, they would say, yeah, he'd be good for us. And Bob as well. And I kid about that, but Bob was in my corner as well. And he certainly has a voice there with Tim to a certain extent, a certain amount of input and I don't know if it's input, but whatever, you know what I mean? He's respected. So, but that's earned. That's earned. So I'm not ringing my own bell, but it wasn't a charity.
No.
It wasn't like they're doing, oh, this guy.
Yeah.
This guy, you know.
Yeah, it's a big job, especially in a Canadian market. And one at the time that was trying to dig themselves out of a hole where it'd been like basically had missed the playoffs 12 out of 13 seasons. There was a lot of anger in the community, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
You know, and then obviously it's turned around and it's been, you know, as great a success as you can, you know, one small step from what the ultimate goal is. 100%. But it's been very successful overall. We always hear, we got a few texts wondering in, is it true that the players get intense media training, or is that more of a myth?
Well, at this point in their careers, they've been doing media for a chunk of time. I mean, you know, Connor was doing interviews when he was a child.
Yeah.
And they go through junior or they're in the NCAA. So they come to me or come to us, to Andrew and I, sort of, I mean, they may not be good at it, but they certainly come to us with some media experience. We try to fine tune things. And you're going back to something you said, like, I have sort of a number of things that I would sort of talk to the players about, just depending on the situation. And one of them that you sort of touched on is, like, to me, I call it the two T's, tone and truth.
Yeah.
Don't confuse those. You know, just because you don't like the way.
Yeah, don't confuse tone and true. Oh my God, I should be a T-shirt right now. Yes. That's unreal.
I might be in every week. Which is to say, and I've talked about this with players, and I've talked about it. I've had the opportunity a few times to have, like, you know, be on a flight with Connor and spend like a couple hours laying out kind of what my philosophy is and what we can do and how to handle certain things. And I mean, he is under a tremendous amount of stress. Not just from the market and the playing, but when you have to speak to, you know, Pride Tape or Hockey Canada or you name it, they come to the Face of Hockey to talk about it. And we'll talk about what's probably on the radar next is five guys coming back to the NHL potentially and stuff. It ain't coming to us, but, you know, it's on the radar. Someone's going to ask him about that, or Himes or Leon. And so, again, it's not my job to protect them and say, we're not answering those questions here today. No, it's my job to equip them. So that's why we talk about it weeks in advance. But as I said to Connor, let's not confuse tone with truth. And again, and you'll have Mark on later. I mean, Mark can sometimes be a bit of a drive-by shooter on Twitter and stuff like that. But it oftentimes it's not wrong about what he's saying. They just don't like the tone of what he is saying or someone else.
Yeah.
But let's not confuse the two.
I really like that. That's something that I just think in everyday life, you know, don't confuse, you know, tone with the truth, right? And now, at the same time, how you deliver the truth, if it comes in a different tone, anybody who's in a marriage will understand that one, right? Hey, if you deliver this certain way, I don't like your tone, and you're, oh my God. So that's right. I think a lot of people out there listening can relate to that, and I think it's a really good way to look at it, because the statement truth hurts, I find sometimes I found people in any walk of life have a tendency sometimes get more upset about something that's truthful because they know it and they're more annoyed by it than anything else. And then when someone else says, it's like your brother, you can call your brother an idiot, but the minute someone else calls him an idiot, you're like, wait a sec, you're not allowed to say that.
Right.
I can say it because I'm his brother and, you know, I've had to live in the same house with him for how many years and, you know, all that stuff. But so when you sit down with like a McDavid or a Drysdale, whatever, and, you know, like something big, Do you go one-on-one? Do you do it in a room where you're, okay, guys, you know, four of you might get asked this in the next week, so let's talk out all at once, or is it better one-on-one?
I kind of pick my spots. I'll tell you a funny story about Leon. So this is the COVID-y season where there's no fans in the stands, but we're playing the games anyway. And so Everything was Zoom. It was awful. Everything is Zoom.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, you're winning some games, we're losing some games. And so, you know, like you lose a game, you got to make some guys available. And we're sort of saying, okay, we need a leader, you know, like Ken's thing was that leadership speaks to losses. So,
right. Okay. Yeah.
That's fair too. And so, you know, we're picking, you know, a certain guy to speak to a loss. And then I started at the time was with Sean May. He was my number two and he's with the LA Kings now. And I would say to Sean, I said, why are we picking these guys? Like, why are we picking who the media wants to talk to? They should be picking these guys. Like, and they should have a consensus among each other of who they want to talk to. Like, why are we picking these guys? Because then be like, because you also need the guys who can speak well.
So 100%.
Like, I got Adam Larson giving it to me like, hey, I only talk when we lose. Well, that's the problem. Not the problem, but that's the nature of the game is like, generally speaking, and again, generally speaking, the forwards score the goals and the defense play the defense. So if you have a loss, you're like, why do we, you know? And another thing I've talked to the players about is like, losers are orphans. Who's the daddy of this loss? And Spec, you know, will jokingly say that to me sometimes too. Like everyone wants to know, why did we lose? And we don't invite 18-947 into the media room afterwards to say, why did we lose? That's the media. That's the conduit from the fans to the team is the media. And so there, it's their job to say or to investigate this loss.
Yeah.
Why did we lose? So we would like to speak to X and X and X and X. So that's how we do it. But at one point, so we had lost. I remember it was kind of a bad loss to the Leafs at home.
Oh, yeah. Guys lost three in a row, actually.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so I think
he scored one goal in three games.
Yes, it was bad.
Yeah.
It was bad. And so one of the requests going out the door, because we had a day off the next day, was Leon.
Leon.
And so...
the grumpy German. And the grumpy German is like a very... Oh. It's a very accurate portrayal of Leon. Now, I remember Leon's like, I'm actually a pretty funny guy.
He
I'm like,
is.
I know. But some days when he's grumpy, like he... And that's okay. I said, dude, I can't hide my emotions either. When I'm annoyed, like it's really hard to be like, oh, everything's great. Like, I'm not good at it.
Leon is a pro.
Yeah.
He is... A pro.
Like, Leon's quite funny, actually.
Very funny.
Yes.
He's hilarious. Anyway, so, but I'm new. Okay,
yeah.
I'm new. This is my first season. So, so we lose that final game, and we're bringing guys into the Hall of Fame to do the Zoom calls.
Yes.
And so I'm thinking, okay, where's Leon here? I happen to walk out where he's leaving. I'm like, Leon, you got to do media here. He goes, I'm not doing it. I said, you can't. I'm thinking, oh my God, like we've got, like, what's going to, like, I'm just now thinking, oh, here we go. Now guys are going to start writing or saying, oh, now he can't deal with the media, can't handle. Like, I'm thinking, I've put him in a position where, he has to do this. Otherwise, and at that point, he's not sort of seeing that.
Yeah.
So he does it, thankfully. And he says something, and I think Titch said something, like, on the call where he said, well, it started off very contentious. And I think it was Titch that said something. And I think he said something like, well, speaking of not showing up, blah, blah, blah. Because Titch, Titch is very funny.
Yes.
So I'm like, oh, this is really
good. Too bad he suspended his own Twitter account. This is disappointment, Titch. No one likes a quitter.
He is funny in our media chat.
Oh, no, he is.
He's very funny. Hey, but I'm thinking, oh, we are, JMO, we are like 40 games into this life, and this is going into the ditch. This is not good. So he does it, and then he makes his kind. He leaves, and we had the next day off. So
it's a 24-hour rule to calm down.
Yeah, everyone take a breather. So we had a bit of a few days off. And so at that point, Titch had sent me a note. He said, look, I apologize. I shouldn't have said what I said. And I said, you know what, Rob, don't worry about it. I think it'll be. He goes, do you think I should apologize? I said, no. I said, I think it'll be fine and everything else. And of course it was, but I get back. So and Leon is the first in the building. Like today we did a German Zoom call. We'll talk about that later. But, so he's got all the German, it gets lined up by one of his agents. And I, what do you call it? Mediate the German Zoom call. I can't understand a word that's being said, but I don't know if the questions are good or bad, but it's just a lot of German.
Yeah.
And so so Leon is always in the building early, very early. So I see him. So I said, hey, I said the other night, I said, thanks for coming back to do it. And I said, you know, we kind of got into it with Titch there. And, you know, he even apologized and said, you know, I said, I wasn't going to. He goes, look, I don't know who you are. I don't know where you came from, but nobody here wants to be famous. Okay. So enough. So I'm like looking at him, and part of me is like, I'll tell you what, kid. But then I thought, no.
No one wants to be famous.
And this goes back to what you're talking about, the truth. So yeah. I'm thinking, no, he's right. He's right, Jamie. He doesn't need you to double back and tell him everything is okay and to thank him and to make sure. Like, I thought, no.
Oh, that's what he was saying. Like, just let it go.
He didn't say that, but I thought this is his way of saying, like, I don't care. Like, it's over.
Oh, okay.
I don't need to relive it.
Right.
And like, it's like, exactly. So he taught me a lesson that day. It may not have been in the tone that I would have liked. He didn't say, hey, slap me on the knee. Hey, by the way, James, I really appreciate it, but it's okay. No, he was like, hey, I don't know where you came from. No one here wants to be famous.
Yeah.
Like his way of saying, like, we don't enjoy it. No one's looking to apologize to these guys. Like, it's an obligation. And we'll talk about the two O's.
Yes.
So he taught me a lesson. And from that point forward, okay, I thought, okay. And also Leon, when you talk about being mad, like Leon, he'll get mad at everyone. Like there was one time where Hyman was on the board to do media, and so he wanted to get going. And so we leave it to the leadership guys to open the room, as you know. So Hyman's like, yeah, let's go. I want to get going here. And so Hyman starts doing his media, and Leon was, it was just a practice. And so Leon comes, why is the room open so early? I said, he wanted to get going. I mean, I'm sorry. He turned to Hyman, why is the room open so early? So he gives it to everybody. So it really is a democracy. But no, it was that. And I thought, okay, like it's a lesson in everybody is different, and we are all just people. They might be really good at hockey, but they're just guys.
They are
brothers, they are uncles, they are fathers, they are just guys. And it doesn't matter if it was football, and it doesn't matter what level of football or now in hockey, they're just guys, and they just want to be treated like guys. Connor does not want to be patted on the back every time you see him and say, what a great game was. Like, he'd rather talk about other things. He's talked to me about my brother running for mayor, and he's, yeah, give me a sign. It'd be great. Like, he's very supportive of that. A couple other guys have taken signs and stuff. And where does he stand on this? And Nuge is like,
can I have his number? I want to talk to him about
it. And Nuge is like, could he get 102nd Avenue open up again? I said, well, if they had listened to Tim 6 years ago when he said, we should do both bridges now.
Oh, my God.
Instead of just the one over Groat, you wouldn't have had the road closed. Yeah. But, you know.
You're going to have people freaking out right now. Anybody downtown, Serenity now.
Yeah.
Serenity
hey, now. Yeah. I won't do a big pitch, but please, for the love of this city, please vote for this man, because it's going to be bad if you don't. But no, so in that moment, Leon definitely taught me a lesson. So there, you're dealing with a lot of personalities. But in terms of, so we'll talk about the two O's. So media, as you know, like the players are obligated to do it. It's part of your contract.
Yes.
It's written right into the CBA.
Yep.
But we have some top flight players, and as you're a member of the media, it's a very good working relationship with everybody on that side of the ledger that just says, okay, we're not talking to 97 every single day. We're not talking to 29 every single day. We usually offset those guys at least by a couple of days. But we've got great guys that are also available and can talk. We've got Hyman and Ekholm. And
I find lots of the low-end guys, like David Tomasic, my first interview with him was 20 minutes, was fantastic.
Yes.
I really, and after the interview was over, like, he asked me all questions about Edmonton, like just a very well-spoken guy. And I'm like, those are the guys you love to talk to.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We have a room full of really good guys. And even, and even if they're a little bit tougher to get to know, they're often good guys behind the scenes that you just kind of wouldn't know about.
Some guys are going to be protective. I totally understand. We got to take a quick break, JC. Then we'll come back with the two O's next on The Gregor Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Instagram, it is The Gregor Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Alberta's only regulated online gambling website, where 100% of the revenue stays right here in the province at PlayAlberta.ca. And we'll stick on with JC. We're going to go in the room now, brought to you by Action Electrical. They are hiring second, third, and fourth year electricians. You're looking to get started for a fantastic company and build a career? Go to careers at actionelectrical.ca. And remember, it's not luck if you get the job, okay? They're hiring you because you're good. There you go. As Jamie Cartmell continues on. So let's get to the two O's in communication. Obligation is one.
Yeah.
And the second one is?
Well, so, okay, like a little bit of a backstory. So, I mean, I've had these sit downs with Connor, mostly when we're coming back from the player media tour in Vegas. And we sort of talk about that. And I said, you're obligated to talk, as we talked about, through the collective bargaining agreements, it's written into their contracts that they're obligated to talk. But let's not also forget that sometimes it's an opportunity, right? So it's obligation and opportunity, to send a message. So you can send a message to your teammates. You can send a message to the fans. That loss was unacceptable. We need to be better, you know, that type of thing. Or if those guys, well, I remember a certain situation where someone hit, I think Kings, Connor got hit by, right by the bench.
Yeah.
Defenseman, no longer there, retired, oft injured, played for the Canucks. Someone would probably text.
Edler?
Him. Yes. Remember he hit Connor?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Nursey went after
him.
And, yeah. So, you know, like, and then you guys asked for Nurse post game, and I think he sort of said, oh, I don't really remember it and everything else. And part of me was like, no, D, here's where we go. If people think they're going to come into this building and they think they're going to do something here, they're going to find out the way that eventually Evander would say.
You know, screw around, you'll find out.
That's right. Yeah. So that to me is an opportunity, you know, that you can send a message. You can send a message to the fans. You can send a message to your opposition. You can send a message to your teammates, because we don't have everybody available after the game. We have two or three guys. So, yes, sometimes it's an obligation, but sometimes it's also an opportunity. So let's take advantage of this opportunity, or let's look at it as an opportunity rather than an obligation, because...
And I always find it's interesting. So team win or lose, you know what? Yeah. Sometimes you're talking to media within 7 minutes after the game, right? Yeah. And when it's like, and especially when it's a devastating loss, more so people are fired up. When it's a crazy win, people are more excited. It's easier, right? Like you're just as probably high in the emotional scale, but one's just more positive, where now you're annoyed and you're mad. And so you got to have serenity now, or calm down. On those tough losses, you know it's coming. Do you kind of remind guys, hey, or do you let them go? They're veterans. Like, is there ever a talking point to say, hey, this is probably coming today?
I would never, they know.
Okay.
Again, these are all just scenarios. I mean, it doesn't matter what team it's with. I mean, if the goalie's given up five.
But what if it's a younger, inexperienced guy that they're going to ask with? Then you talk to them? Or do you try to protect him and not have him speak?
Well, we can't give away all our stuff. Come on, Jay.
But I can see it. There is a method at times.
There is. And then there's a certain situations where I'm happy to take a bullet. And we've had to have to do that too. We're just saying he's with the training staff. And he's just not going to be available, right? We will do that. This is not a complicated conversation, but it all kind of comes back. So sometimes you have to use one of those bullets with the people that you work with every day. So for the most part, if we are all on the same page and we have a good working relationship with the media, then occasionally you'll get a pass.
Yeah, and as long as it's not too many times, right? 100%.
One a year?
Yeah.
Maybe two.
Yeah. Like in America, everybody gets a get out of jail free card sometimes, where it's like, yeah. And I always like to say it this way. I've always talked, my adage with players is, people who treat you with respect, when it comes down to where you have to criticize them, you'll criticize them probably more with a butter knife than with an absolute steak knife and a machete, because you're like, you know what? I don't care about this person. I really don't. Because and you can see it. It's human nature. When someone's a complete ass to you, when the time comes and you have an opportunity,
sure.
Yeah, could you be a better person? Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
But sometimes you'd be like, you know what? I don't really worry about it, because this person has shown no semblance of respect. So I'm probably not going to treat him with respect back.
Right.
Now, it doesn't make it right or wrong, but I see that unfold lots on both sides.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, from my stand, I always try to tell players, I'm like, hey, if you have an issue with Peter, that's fine. You have an issue with Peter. Don't take Peter's issue out on me because, quote, media. Like, I hate the term media because it's so all-encompassing and it's everybody. I said,
yes.
I'm a member of the media, but if a guy has an issue with Jason, then come to Jason. We'll talk it out. And maybe we'll have a tete-a-tete. Like, you know, I think I have a pretty good relationship with Leon. Leon and I had a huge bleep you moment many years ago, right? I had one with a few other guys over time. It happened in football. You've had it. It's just, that's how it is. And if you don't stand up for yourself, I don't think you'll have any success in my job.
Mm-hmm.
And conversely, for a player, right? It's the same way. So I don't have a problem with it. I never lose sleep over. You're not going to be buddy buddies with guys, especially now that I'm older. When I was younger, it's different, because I'd see a lot of players out at a bar. Yeah. And I was out there and I'm like, dude, what you do off the ice, I'll never talk about. That was my internal rule. And I stuck to it. I'm like, it's just not, that's not what I report on. Right? Now, I'll warn you, when I hear something, if you're a moron, like I won't name the player's name, but I actually had a player and I went and met him at a restaurant to tell him, I said, dude, I'm hearing this, this, and this about you. I'm not going to report it, but I can tell you someone else will. You better clean up.
Yeah. Oh, I remember with the Eskimos, I mean, Vicky Hall would let Dave know, hey.
Oh, Dave. Did Dave, you might have been working there. So I was young working for the Elks. No, I won't say the player's name, but there was somebody had put posters of a player up on White Avenue. And I was walking down White Avenue. I saw these posters and I'm like, oh, jeez, this isn't good. And I just called Dave. And I remember he was so mad. It was like, you know, midnight on like a Wednesday. Oh, yeah. And I call him. I'm like, hey, Dave's like, what are you doing? I'm like, Dave, I'm really sorry, but I don't really know what to do, but I thought you might want to know this.
Okay, thanks.
This is what I'm seeing. You might want to get there. Okay, thanks. And then I hung up the phone. And, oh, we laughed about that for a long time because I'm just like, geez, like, this is my job, and I might want to help you out and give you a warning. Because then I look at it like, hey, later on, if I need help because I missed an interview, you might give me a second chance to get an interview.
Right. So, yes, to all that.
So and you were working, like at that point, you're in crisis mode. You guys must have had to go down there and rip some of those posters down because there had to be at least 10 or 20.
Well, I didn't, but I heard about it. But getting back to our guys, no one likes you in the room. I just thought.
Yeah, that's okay.
I don't think that, that's this market. I mean, I think generally speaking for for as frantic as people get about the hockey team, I think we have good people. There's good people on both sides. So I tell the guys, I don't think anyone comes into that room with an agenda. No one's going for gotcha. And, I quite often will get a heads up like, hey, my editor is asking for this or my head HQ is asking for that. And so I will be asking this. And we are, and I appreciate that. You don't get that if you don't have a good relationship. Because if it's contentious, then they're looking out for you too. Because you guys leave the room. If there's bad questions or someone's being a jerk, it's not like the players say something to you. They say it to me.
Yeah.
And if a guy is being a jerk to you, it's not like you say it to the player. You say it to me. So I'm kind of, we're in the middle, Andrew and myself. So, but I don't believe anyone comes into the room with an agenda. And sometimes there's some difficult topics and some difficult questions. But our guys are pros. And like you said, when I said, that losses are orphans, wins have lots of daddies, right?
Oh, right? Yeah, lots
great
of guys
goaltending, power play, and we killed this, and a shorthanded goal, and a great fight that sparked it. Like, there's lots of daddies, and for wins, so that's anybody can do it.
Yeah,
it is in a win.
We got a few checks, and I want to. Yeah, I was going to ask you this, then we'll go to a break again. But guys, I really enjoyed this, learning lots. I'm just curious, what was Jamie's role in the infamous "Why are you so pissy?" Between Maddie and Drysdale, because that one, of course, it went viral. Yeah. How do you massage? Just let it, work itself out at that point, because Leon said, "Hey, I don't need to be famous." So do you just let it go after that, or is that one that where you're like, "Hey, we got to have a conversation"?
Well, okay, and Jim Mattson is in the Hockey Hall of Fame, so let's not besmirch his name. But in that moment, no, I'm not going to go down the hall and point my finger into Jim's chest and say, no, because once that came out, if you recall, the people who were hardest on Jim was Jim's own audience. And they were, that's why I don't get too excited about social media and stuff like that, because
negativity.
And Jim
there than
took
anything.
A lot of heat for that. And that's his audience. That's not like the players aren't his audience. The readers are, the listeners are, like, so they were the one. And then he wanted to apologize, or he apologized. And so, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes you just have to.
But if a guy wants to apologize, do you set it up face to face? Is what I'm saying. Like, if somebody came to you and said, hey, can I have a conversation with a guy, rightly or wrongly? Do you say, hey, you got to talk to him yourself? How does that work in the communications role?
I think it really sort of depends. I'm trying to think. I mean, it's so rare that someone's gone so far offside they feel the need to apologize. But in that moment, I think it was more about people go, well, how come you're not attacking Jim? Why aren't you getting so mad at Jim? I'm like, to what end? Like, his own audience is saying, that's not cool, and you deserve that, or, I can't recall the details. But it was what it was. And so, I mean, I'm not going to go to Leon and, and ask if he's okay. And, he was just fine. And again, knowing what I knew about him, once it was over, it was over. It's not a big deal. It's just the heat of the moment kind of thing. So Leon gets mad at me a lot during the season. Like, he'll score a winning goal in overtime and say, Leon, can you just stop with Gina? But that's just him, because he just, it's not, he just sees it as part of his job. And it's like, and Connor and Leon are the worst about talking about themselves. They'll talk about each other forever, but they don't want to talk about themselves. Yeah, I really respect that, but it's and I also really get
it's hard at times.
It's hard.
You're like, dude, you just scored, you know, 50 goals, and you're one of only 10 players ever to have 100%. 50 and 50. Like, you might have to be like, hey, this is all right.
And they don't get me wrong. They love the support, and they appreciate everything that's said that's nice about them. But until the ultimate goal is accomplished, it's just appetizers, right? But it's also a really long season. And, you know, scoring the overtime winner to beat Chicago 3-2 and we're about to get on a flight and go to Nashville and play the next, like, you know, it's just, it's a lot. And sometimes those moments just sort of get the best of you. It doesn't mean it's not personal. And I don't take it personally. It'd be nice if you didn't do it, but it is what it is. I love the kid and it's just part of the job. No one put a gun to my head. I applied for the job. So that's what comes with it. So
I love it. Jamie Cartmell joins us. We're going to keep you for one more segment, JC. Thanks so much. We'll get to the con man on a Sports 1440 update brought to you by Legacy Heating and Cooling. Home of the no payments, no interest for 1 year on your furnace or your AC. It's so warm, you're probably still using it. LegacyHeating.ca. 3 o'clock, Sports 1440, Sports1440.ca. YouTube, Facebook, X, and Instagram. Thanks, as always, for listening, watching, wherever you get the show. If you get the podcast later and you're joining us now, thank you so much. As always, brought to you by PlayAlberta.ca, where this season, even better odds in all the games and even easier to maneuver. Download the app. Quick, easy. Play Alberta at the App Store. And for one final segment, very gracious with the time, Director of Orders Hockey Communications, Jamie Cartmell, joins us in studio, and we were talking about the O's and, you know, dealing with different personalities. And, you know, you bring up young players because we got a lot of people, you know, they always text about how, you know, like, and we kind of debunk the myth a little bit of media training. But it is interesting, like, hockey's overall, and I don't love the word culture, but in hockey compared to some of the other sports, you know, there's not as big of personalities like basketball, especially even in the NFL, you know, and you know, and so that they'll come out and say stuff. And, you know, it's kind of like if a guy says something funny or, you know, whatever it is, like, is it, do you notice that sometimes where it's just, it's hard to describe why, but there's a lot of players who, even the superstars, you're like, man, you can say whatever you want. You're still going to play every night because you're one of the best players in the league. Mm-hmm. But, and you were in football. Why do you think it's different where it's almost like, geez, I'm scared to say something, even though it's never anything really that bad?
I don't know. I think it's, that's a good question. I mean, the culture of football is very different. I mean, there's a lot of, I mean, hockey is a sport that you need equipment to play and you need ice, and therefore you need to have money or funding or, you know, or access. I mean, you can play football anywhere. And if you're good,
soccer,
you know,
basketball,
right? Yeah. So, I think just the cultural differences are a lot in football and especially in the Canadian Football League. And, hockey is very much, a sport that's to some extent with most guys playing it requires, you know, a different kind of set of resources, we'll say. So they, I think they come in, there's less jobs in hockey on a hockey team than there is football. You know, I think job security, even though the contracts are guaranteed, I think that this, you know, like...
Well, outside of the tops, like the third and fourth line guys, man. Sure. Like, I think people, when you talk to players who are in that role, and, you know, some guys get pretty comfortable, but there's a lot that it's the stress involved of, am I keeping my job for next year? Am I keeping my role on the team? Because nowadays, you could have a 3-year deal at $1 million. Team is like, if we don't think you're good enough, you go to the minors because you don't count against a cap anyway.
Yeah.
And it's not about the money for the player. It's about wanting to be in the NHL and wanting to play there.
Sure.
Right?
So, yeah. There's a lot at stake. There's a lot at stake. And it's very high pressure. And it's very high pressure in a city like this where all eyes are on it all the time. And from the media and a fan perspective, and you're on the doorstep the last couple of years. And it's... Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot of pressure, and it's and don't forget, it's a lot of pressure on guys who are just going home to, maybe they're trying to have a baby but can't, or someone like Vasily signs a contract one day, his dad passes away that night, and like you just got hit by a freight train. Like, not his dad, I mean, like, no. Emotionally. Like,
yeah.
Like,
it's like such a range of emotions. Like, one of the biggest moments of your life. You're so proud of your parents. You're hearing your parents say, oh, my God, son, we're super proud of you. It's amazing. And then literally 24 hours later, you're on a plane to Russia.
He's got a brother who I think is like 18.
Younger. I met his brother here at the game. His brother was 15.
He
was so excited because it was his first time seeing him since he got drafted in 2019 in Canada. Had never come. And so I remember Vasily during the Stanley Cup final, we talked, and like, he was such a proud big brother. Like, that was the greatest part of him, was that his brother was there, and like, his parents stayed in a hotel room, his brother stayed with him, right? Like, he was just like, he thought it was the greatest. And so when I heard about his father passing, I'm just thinking, like, here's a guy now who clearly, you want to look out for your brother, but you know the dad's there and dad can help him, and not that mom can't, but like, that's going to be a lot now to think about. So who knows, like, is he going to move his family here? Cause that's a big thing now, where you're an older brother and suddenly you're, quote, the man of the house, but you're the man of the house living in Edmonton, where the house is in Russia.
Yes. And on Wednesday, October 8th, if he's in the lineup, you know, there's how many people watch him to clear the puck, Vasily, kill the penalty, go to the net. Like he's dealing with a lot, and it's part of your life.
How much of in your job is to really know everything that's going on with the players? How do you uncover that so you can be aware, you know, maybe today's not a day, like, I'm just, this guy's not available, whatever, he had a meeting, you know, you can find ways to get out. Like, how important is that to know the goings on of the players?
Well, I don't.
Or is that the manager comes to you and says, hey, this is happening?
Yeah. I mean, we found out very early in the morning, because Vasily's another very early arrival at the rink and stuff, that, you know, hey, this has happened. I'm not a counselor.
I
can be if they want me to be that. I'm happy
not
to be
talk
that.
To them, but more so to understand the whole situation.
Yeah, I don't check in with the players on, I try not to be around the, you know what I mean? I come in when I need to do my job, and then, you know, and occasionally, you know, hang around and chat, like shooting it with Nuge and stuff, and you know,
are you allowed to be in the Fantasy Football League?
No, I'm not in the fantasy. I mean, there's a pool. Like the pick 'em pool. But I watch these games. I think I would have. I just, trust me, I've worked in sports almost 30 years. I couldn't pick an NFL pool like to save my life again. Like, seriously, picking a tie yesterday.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you're taking.
Well, yeah. If you're picking the loser point there, you're done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would. I mean, okay. I mean, I know a lot about the game, you know, and all that. But it's such a.
There's a reason that. People don't make a living.
Yeah.
Well, some do.
They keep building hotels. Yeah. They don't build it on winners. That's what I say. See all those shiny lights? It ain't from the winners.
Yeah. It's very true.
Yes.
Lastly, quickly, so when you go around a season like that, and obviously we got a lot of texts, and I wanted to save this till the end because we knew how to talk about it, but the whole Connor contract, obviously in Edmonton, it's a big story.
Sure.
And until because there's really only two ways it goes. He signs a contract, he doesn't sign a contract. Like, there's no other option. Those are the only two options. Yeah. But is it not a big deal for you? Or because, you have to be, like, I get it every day. Someone's like, hey, how's everything going? Hear anything on McDavid? Like, people, I get why fans care. It's like,
sure,
you know, he's their favorite player or one of their favorite players. And he's obviously a major part of the team.
Yeah.
How do you have to address that, or are you just like, you know what, we've addressed it enough, I don't worry about it now?
It's
Will it be more on the road because it's a new city every time?
Well, okay, a couple of things. First, it's like the weather. I can't control the weather. I mean, it has nothing to do with me. So I try to take down the temperature for him. So we're not going to do it every day. And even last night's game, guys were asking, hey, you think we can do Connor tomorrow? I was like, no, I don't think that's necessary. Well, we got some season preview stuff. Well, let me just check my watch here. We have two more preseason games in 3 days. When we come back, I think we can get a preview done, you know, in a week. So, no, it's not necessary to drag him out. And so, I mean, Connor doesn't know a fraction of the things I say no to in a nice way. But, and again, you know, I'm not going to stand up on a tailbone and tell you all the things I don't do. But, sure, it's on my mind. It's on everyone's mind. And it's important. It's our world. Not he's our world. I mean, that's our world.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure, it's on our mind and stuff. But I have no control over that. So it will be one or the other. And but again, I don't know anything that
you don't ask
questions.
You don't know.
I don't ask questions. Keep my head down and we're going.
For people listening,
yeah,
and if you could give them any advice if they wanted to get into in a communications role. And then obviously it's, you know, it's not going to be the first job, right? Like Andrew Peard works with you and, you know, there's lots of, you know, there's Oil Kings, like there's lots of different elements. Like you got to work your way up, right? You don't just first job is going to be, oh, I'm the director of communications for an NHL team. Like it's not how it works. But do you have any advice for people who look at that job and be like, man, that like you're kind of on the inside. You're just, you know what's going on, but you don't always know what's going on. What's your advice on what are the requirements to be good at the job and how to get into the job?
Well, am I good at the job? I don't know. You tell me.
You've won the Dick Dillman Award. Is it three times?
Three times in five years. But who's counting?
Yeah, that's for best communications team.
In the Western Conference, yes.
Oh, is it in the West?
There's a West and an East, yeah.
So well, I didn't know. I thought it was just the whole league.
Well,
oh, jeez. Oh, well, that's not as impressive all of a sudden.
I can't take ownership of the league. I mean, we dominate in so many other categories. But, I think it does. I don't think it should apply to any job. I think you, I mean, not just come in and stay. I have a sense of urgency, you know, care about what you're doing. I don't like the word passion. But, you know, of course I love sports. Of course I love, you know, I love this life. You know, I get up early each morning and I say, I get to go, not I have to go.
Yeah, that's fair.
Right? Mm-hmm. So that's not easy. There's not a lot of people who get to say, I get to go to work today. I do. And I realize that. And I never take it for granted. But I think that you have to be attentive of what you do. You have to put care and attention into what you do. Everything we do is a calling card across the league. You know, whether it's our training camp guide or how we present things or how we travel or how do you get into this? How do you get into this job? I think you I hate to say it, but sometimes you got to volunteer, show a passion for just wanting to get your foot in the door, be outgoing, get off your phone, listen, don't talk. I do a lot of listening and I ask a lot of questions. You know, there's some things on the horizon that we may or may not have to deal with. But, you know, I talked to Mark about those things today. I talked to Ryan about those things today. And like, you know, how much of an appetite are we going to have to satisfy here to talk about things that have nothing to do with us? And it's planning ahead. So you got to have a sort of a very short range view of what's going on day to day and a long range view. And you have to sort of toggle between those. For my job, sure, the ability to write, although that's getting sort of more and more kind of skewed. If you want to work, you know, as a web writer or something like that, you better have some people skills.
Yeah.
And sometimes a thick skin and the ability to work with others, and you better respect what other people do. I don't care if it's Jeff Lang and Brad Harrison and Shane Olmstead, who spend hours upon hours of in dressing rooms and equipment and doing it in the middle of the night on a back-to-back, and you know, respect what other people do. Don't ever say that's not my job. I've pushed equipment into the room and to help those guys out because I want to go for beers after. You know, let's get going. So don't be afraid. Don't say no to things. Try anything. But like I said, it ain't luck. The timing might be fortunate for an opportunity. Like, you know.
Yeah, people, if you have a good job out there, like, oh, you got lucky. Maybe you got some, you said some good timing. Sure.
Well, I mean, I know it's cliche, but you know, the harder I work, the luckier I get. You know, guys say that all the time. And it's true. I mean,
in any walk of life, I've found the people that are the hardest workers. And hard work can be a different definition for every type of job.
Absolutely.
So it's not just always physical, right? Sometimes you might have to work on your presentation. And, you know, I suppose we had a guest speaker on talk about how, you know, for them, they practiced. We had Gama Singh. I don't know if you're ever a Stampede Wrestling fan. We had Gama Singh in studio.
And yes, of course.
And he talked about how Roddy Piper said,
having a big party, Ed.
Yeah, you got to get better on the mic. And so he practiced in front of a mirror.
Sure.
At home. Over and over, and that's how he got better at it. And like, this was a guy who came to Canada at 9, didn't speak a word of English, right? Yeah. And so, you know, there's lots of different ways to, quote, work hard. It's not all physical by any stretch.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think work hard, but work smart. That is, you know, working smart is very vital on, you know, is doing this going to help me long term? If it is, even if I don't like it, I do it, right? And after a while, you're like, if I keep doing this thing, but it really has no benefit to me long term, why am I doing it in my job? You have to figure those things out.
And ask questions. I mean, I've probably done, I don't know, maybe half a dozen things where someone's like, hey, I'm go to the, you know, it's a school in the States, typically. Out East, there's a lot of communications and sports jobs. So they'll interview me and I'll just talk about this kind of stuff. And some people have gotten jobs, not because of me, but because, like, you know, I've seen their advancement through whatever on LinkedIn or something like that, that they've gotten their job. I think, oh, that's cool. I can't talk to that person. But I ask a lot of questions. I had like a 10-minute conversation today with Lazar. His wife's got a business degree from UBC Okanagan.
Yeah, you want to get to know something.
100%. I think it's, I love asking guys questions. I love knowing what other people do. I talk to the docs about, I know more about ACLs and stuff and how, you know, things work than, you know.
So Hyman will be back in November. Is that what you're telling us? For sure.
Again, I'm not going to speak to that, but he's doing very well.
He's doing well. Oh, that's good. Jamie, thanks so much for this. We really appreciate it. Got a lot of texts that people enjoying it. It's always, I like to go on and talk about different things at different times.
Yeah.
Enjoy the season and best of luck.
I appreciate it. Happy to come back.
Good luck setting up signs over the next few weeks, because I'm sure you're doing that in your spare time.
Make sure you vote or don't complain.
Exactly. Oh, that's the number one rule. If you don't vote, you can't complain. I love it. We'll take a quick